Blog Talk Radio.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain
that Jesus
Christ is Lord.
While shepherds kept their watching.
Party and the Spirit of America Party Book. Yes, go tell it on the mountain. We're being flim-flammed. The Party of Death is now gone communist, and they're playing one group of people against the other. And all we're going to have is sorrow and unhappiness, division, and bad decisions. Terrorists always created diversion to strike their target. Never look where the Democrat Communist Party wants you to look. Look for what they don't want you to see. Racism is a big attention getter. The House and the Senate is about to go Republican. Any baptized Democrat who believes this is still the party of your grandparents is in for the shock of Stalinism. Colder is Laventi Beria, Obama is Joseph Stalin. Al Sharpton is Leon Trotsky. George Soros, the owner of the Party of Death, is Vladimir Lenin. The good news is baby Jesus is coming, and America's big present this year is $50 a barrel oil and $2 a gallon gas. And won't the truckers of America be happy, especially the independents, because that means a few extra bucks in their pocket. And may that you score big. We did not have to lick Hugo Chavez's ankles to get cheap gas like the state of Massachusetts did and Patrick Big Lie Kennedy. He did it. He was the ringleader, the communist ringleader. I hope he gets a lump of coal in his stocking from a profitable West of Virginia coal mine. Any state that has coal should be allowed to join in the American energy revival. Any politician who supports green communism, also known as Enviro-Leninism, needs a one-way ticket to China, coal fields. We dedicate our show tonight to a 911 New Yorker from Chicago, Joe Walsh from 970 AM The Answer. He is relatively new. He came in with he squeezed in with a one-hour show, and now he's up to 2 to 3 hours. And he is a 911 New Yorker from Chicago. The conservative talk kingpins are still in Regansville and the fake collapse of communism. Joe and Mark Levin are the only ones standing up for New York's finest. Savage is losing his base, and the business is going elsewhere. We don't need to hear how great he is anymore. Joe Walsh is a fresh breath of freedom. And you know what? His show is open to everybody. He invites the toughest to call. He takes on all comers, and he lets them speak. So, we are going to open our show with the Democrat theme song. you see.
Thank you very much.
You see that an American teacher in Abu Dhabi walked into the ladies' room in a very exclusive mall and was followed in by a woman in a black burqa who stabbed her to death. The teacher is the mother of two twin girls, 11 years old. Now, that's unusual to happen in the Emirates. The Emirates is very, very safe. And I'm sure that the government of Abu Dhabi, which is the capital of the seven Emirates, will compensate the family for the loss of that mother. And I believe that goes without saying. I would be shocked to find out that they sent her body home with no compensation. It is really sad. How heartless you must be to follow a helpless woman into a lady's room and spill her blood all over the place. Having said that, the Emirates recently declared CARE a terrorist group. So while we coddle to terrorists here, the people who are directly confronted with terror are naming names. And here we go around playing pitter-pat. It's really sad. The way the condition of the United States is today, we are wide open, we are face down, pants down. It is very sad that we are no better off today than we were on 9/11. We are still open mouth catching flies, and I'm watching these demonstrations, these racial demonstrations, stirring up the blacks. And if you look behind the blacks, there are white communist antagonists stirring the pot, especially in New York. If you see in the demonstration down in 42nd Street, it's all white students. And based on my experience, communist college professors encourage their students for extra credits to go out and demonstrate against the United States. You'll never see them in a pro-life a demonstration, but you'll see them in a bring it all down, baby demonstration. And people are commenting on the crowd of 1,000 tonight in New York, downtown New York, and they're saying, these guys look like the Occupy Wall Street communists, and that's who they are. That's who they are. And there's more whites down there than blacks. And I guarantee you that the whites that are demonstrating do not have the same problems as the blacks that are down there. They're problem-free. Pater in nature. Pay their room and board in a $3,000 a studio apartment. That is smaller than there's a car advertising that I think it's a Ford, a van, and the ad says this is bigger than a New York City apartment. Unbelievable. Okay, so what are we gonna do? You've got Iran now bragging they have missiles that can travel 2,000 miles. And short-range missiles that they can travel 300 miles. Obama gave him an extension to keep on building nukes. And he gave him 7 more months to get it right. And Hillary Clinton never testified against on Benghazi. She faked a blood clot and did an exit stage left. Now she's on the stage tonight preaching racial harmony. Oh, man. They should be doing the death scene from Julius Caesar, these people. So what are we going to do? Our military is shrinking. Our ability to, as a matter of fact, if you remember about a year ago, the big buzzwords in the press, in the communist press, who never listed the 2,300 Americans that died in Afghanistan under Obama. Not one. They never mentioned one. They classified them as NATO troops to be identified later. Yeah. Weapons were unloaded at Dover Air Force Base in the middle of the night. Did you notice when Obama announced the death of bin Laden? I saw a cartoon. It's a Navy aircraft carrier, and they're at the edge of the deck, and they're rolling Osama bin Laden's body. You can see his head, and they're rolling his body into the sea for a sea burial at sea, and he's wrapped in bacon. Beautiful. I loved it. So what are we going to do? We're getting weaker. Our enemies are getting stronger. They announced tonight that China, with our money, has surpassed us as the number one economic power. They beat us. $17.6 trillion this year, and we did $17.4, and we owe $18 trillion. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, you keep buying that presidential BS, and one day you'll go to the bank and the guy's going to say, what are you here for? I'm here to take out, make a withdrawal. You can't make any withdrawals. Didn't you see the new government regulations? You got to apply to make a withdrawal. Well, I just wanted to go down the street. I just wanted to get $100. I want to go down the street to the gummy store and get a chit for a roast beef. Comrade. Okay, so what are we going to do? All right, the communists are creating chaos. They want the nation divided. They want us fighting amongst each other. They want Christ out of the country. And they're succeeding at all levels. So we're losing. Now, as we get weaker and weaker, our enemies are now venturing soft probes to see what they can get away with, and are we capable of being conquered? And they're doing it in many different ways. We're all worried about the bomb that goes off in the air, and we all lose our radio communications, and nothing's going to work. And Detroit this week had a cable cut, and the entire city went black. Just all the city agencies. Yeah, so we could be in a war and not even know it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That was French. Yes, very nice tune. You ever see the classic picture of the Germans marching into Paris and the guy standing on the corner crying? Pray to God that never happens here. So what are we going to do? Our world is tumbling down and the stock market is going up. The price of oil is coming down. And the Russians and the Iranians will start to lose money on their oil. And the Saudis are behind this. For once, they're doing the right thing. Yes. What are we going to do? You think we need another Obama? Is that the answer? You think we need another Chuck Schumer? Do we need another, what's his name? Turban Durbin? You think we need a Carlos the Jekyll Levin? Do we need another Hillary Clinton? You got to be kidding. She couldn't even fill a small auditorium. And boy, I bet you heads are rolling over at her campaign headquarters tonight. They probably got people up buried with honey on their heads, Apache style. Yeah. Oh, speaking of Apache style, Obama went to visit the Crow Nation. He wants them to go off the reservations. He's going to sell them guns. Yeah. When they talk about gun confiscation, you know what I say? Yeah, that's a good idea. Start in the ghetto. Go into the ghetto, take all the guns. House to house, get all the guns. Give me a call. Let me know how you make out. And when you finish that, go to all the Indian reservations and tell them you're there to pick up their guns. Give me a call. Let me know how you make out. And I don't want to say this because I may start something, but I'm observing something that everybody's missing. And I can't tell you what it is now because I want to wait until it's over. On this demonstration in downtown New York. But I see something very interesting, and I'm going to pass it on to you. Now, I hear tonight, Jimmy from Brooklyn left me a message. He said he's listening to Mark Levin, and Mark Levin says that the merchants called the precinct to complain about the guy that was selling cigarettes. And that they sent a detail with a sergeant. And the sergeant watched the arrest in progress and was in charge. And she's black. Has anybody told you that? I just heard it once. I heard it in a phone call, so I want to verify it. I'd like to get two sources before I say anything. But nobody talked about that. Then I turn on Joe Walsh, the 911 New Yorker from Chicago, who is defending every cop in the country. And he's standing up and shouting that he's defending every cop in the country. And he says the guy that was selling the Lucy's has a rap sheet of 31 arrests. Has anybody told you that? Did you see that anywhere? Now, if those two issues are real and true, picture that would cause people to get upset. That would even make people like O'Reilly say the guy held them down too long. And I heard a woman call into another talk show, and she said that the guy's got asthma besides. And he's probably got a bad heart. Anyway, it's very interesting. And the press, beware the press, the communist press, ABC, always be communist. NBC, nothing but communist. CBS, the communist broadcasting system. CNN, the communist news network. And NPR, forget about it. Forget about it. That's NPR is to Washington, D.C., what Pravda is to Moscow. So what are we going to do? We're looking at the candidates. And the rhinos are going to give us the SOS, the same old shit. S-H-E-T. Yep, they're going to give us the old crap. They're going to bring out the sucker list. Yeah, they're going to bring out... Oh, one guy I see and I like, and I'll tell you why I like him. And this throws the race card right out the window. But first, they're going to give us Mitt Romney, a loser. He's a loser. With all his money, he lost. You want to give him a second chance to lose again? No. You go into battle, the guy loses a battle, you go, okay, you lost 10,000 men, we'll give you another 10,000. It don't work that way. Not when it's life and death. Romney's a loser, forget about it. And Jeb Bush, forget about it. We don't need any more Bushes, we don't need any more Clintons. So I tell you what, we'll give up Bush, you give up Clinton. Yeah, okay. Now who do I like? I'm not sold on this guy, but I like him. And he speaks volumes to racial harmony. Who am I talking about? Huh? The guy from Bayou Country. Bobby Jindal. Bobby Jindal doesn't play the race card. Bobby Jindal is an American Calcutta Indian. Okay? Now, he is governor of Louisiana. He was elected by all the folks, the majority of folks in Louisiana, white, black, Chinese, the melting pot people. He's an Indian with dark skin from the southern state, from the Confederate state of Louisiana, from the big slave state of Louisiana. Now, how did Bobby Jindal ever get that job? He was the best man for it. And nobody saw the color. They saw accomplishments. And nobody says it. Now the rhinos, they want to bring him up. Yes, this will be good for us. Everybody will think that we're interracial. No, the people that got Bobby Jindal that job as governor are the people that should bring Bobby Jindal forward as president. Do not let the rhinos handle him. They will ruin his chances. The people that got him to the governor's seat are the people that should bring him to the entire nation, and not the rhinos. And there's only one bigger racial hypocrite than Republicans, and that's Democrats, because they got the big con working. They got the big con working. And when Lyndon Johnson signed legislation that was beneficial to African Americans, as he signed it, and you can go on YouTube and you'll find this, we'll have those N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. Is that what you want to hear? That you're a 200-year Democrat? Yeah. So, go independent. That's where the money is. The money's not in welfare Democrat. The money is in go independent and make your own. So who are we going to have for president? There is, I believe he's a liberal. I don't know enough about him. I bought his book. I read his book. But I still don't know enough about him. I would love to talk to guys who served with him, who know him, and broke bread with him. And that's not politicians, because they have nothing to do with him. They run away from him when they see him because he might give them bad press. He's the general that was fired for hurting Obama's feelings. When one of his aides said about Joe Biden, "Joe, bite me." And that was grounds to get rid of him. No, that wasn't grounds to get rid of him. The grounds were already sowed. It is the destruction of the U.S. military, and they started with a general. And there are admirals and generals who can attest to that who are not speaking. And I just learned tonight that General Petraeus is under investigation by the FBI since he was relieved of command. And he can't speak in his defense. And they're going to keep that muzzle on him until they've finished doing all their dirty deeds. So who are we going to have for president? I threw it out once and somebody says, no more generals for presidents. And they cited a Grant. A Grant won the Civil War. What, he took a drink? You know what Lincoln said about Grant's drinking? The Pentagon types were bad-mouthing him to Abraham Lincoln. And up until that time, before Grant, Abraham Lincoln had no winners as generals. He had one general that kept building and building the army and never went to battle. So they sniped him. They tried to stab him in the back with earbuds. And, you know, he's a heavy drinker. And Lincoln said, find out what he's drinking and send the case to every general in the army, okay? Because it seems to win battles. Yeah. So, and then you had a great guy that would have made a great president, George Patton. He would have had this country shining like a brand new dime. He would have ended the Cold War. And you know what? Countries like Hungary and Czechoslovakia and Poland and Lithuania and Latvia and Finland never would have fell under the yoke of communism. And if I find it tonight, I have a little questionnaire on communism. Open your eyes a little bit because you're not learning this in school. You're learning about slavery and the abuses of slavery. Yeah, well, I grew up in a neighborhood, it was all Irish, none of them owned a slave. I'm wrong. There was one family that had a slave, the McLaughlin family. A father and son lived in a house on the ground floor. The son was at work and the father caught a burglar. And instead of turning him over to the police, they made him a slave. And they used to have him doing the dishes, doing the laundry. They couldn't let him do the shopping, though, because he might escape. But this was back in the time when they didn't have channel changes, so he used to change the channel for them while they drank their beer. And he had to get them the beers, and he had to open them. He was a slave for 30 days, and he finally escaped. And the McLaughlins were brokenhearted. That he left. He flew the coop. And they used to leave the window open for him, hoping he would come back. Yeah, that's a true story. So, who are we going to have for a general? The smart move may be to call for a military president. Instead of having draft dodgers and communist community activists, how about we head up a survival team? You know, Marco Polo, he brought two things back from the court of Kublai Khan. Spaghetti, noodles, and gunpowder, which they were using for fireworks. And that made the bow, an arrow, and the sword obsolete. And the nuclear fission theory made gunpowder obsolete to an extent. The next war is going to be nuclear. That's where we're headed. You know that gunpowder is obsolete. The next war will be fought on American soil, starting with shopping malls. You will be taking your shoes off just to enter a 7-Eleven. Never Can Happen has already happened. In 1993, when the Clinton Towers caught the first jihad hit, all Muslims are jihadists. It is part of their religious government. When the muezzin calls for jihad by neighborhood, you will see more workplace violence than you ever thought about. I predicted Kevlar baby carriages as you watch mothers on tops in Iraq shivering in fear. That can also happen here. Look at the ISIS sign behind the CNN jerk marching for no peace in Missouri. Yeah, at that Ferguson, there was a guy with an ISIS sign. That can also happen here. The show me the bomb state is Missouri. Iran is already, as always, 90 days away from producing a nuke anytime they choose. Israel, as is the USA, is scheduled for annihilation. It is just a matter of time. If you think Israel with 200 nukes is going to let Muslims kill every man, woman, and child in their homeland, then you have not seen too many candles on a birthday cake. The word for today is Masada. We go everywhere, goes, practice your Musu, because the only survivors will, we go, everybody goes. That's what that is, Masada. In other words, with 200 nukes, if they're going down, everybody's going down. And the Russians will be looking for the weakest to strike. We go, practice your moose stew, because the only survivors will have moved to Alaska unless the Russians get there first. While we debate toy stories like Bush did not have to go to Iraq, but Obama saved us when he invaded Libya by executive order, liars do get blood clots. You can see the willing helplessness of the leader of the freak world. White communists are all over the world are showing Al Sharpton selfies taken in Ferguson, saying the white American hates people of color. And if you really want to see who hates people of color, get out your Muslim history book. Turn to the pages on slavery. Stop singing the Song of Arabia until you meet the band. Once a civilian casualties begin to climb, starting with more bombings, and the economy starts to dry up, we're going to be forced to fire a lot of losers. The cry will change from let's talk about it to shoot first and ask questions later. When I grew up, kids were threatened. If they misbehave, Mom said the boogeyman will get you. The kids today wish they could boogie with the boogeyman. Today it is Al-Qaeda will get you, or the Democrats, whichever comes first. I would feel much safer watching a combat experienced general like McChrystal taking the presidential oath than seeing a Essing communist daycare golfer tell me why he hung up on the phone on 911 calls. My guess is McChrystal is a lib. But he's a fighting lib, and we haven't had one of those since the 40s. I will take my chances with Stanley. Besides, he's an excellent judge of leadership character. It is funny that Fox never had him on. Why did they Glenn Beck him? Seriously, World War III has been going on since Clinton helped Osama bin Laden get a second chance at the Trade Center. The hit was supposed to kill 100,000 Americans. Remember their original theory, one building would collapse on another? They weren't too far off, were they? We laughed at them because they tried to bring the steering wheel back for a truck deposit refund. Every time the Muslims miss their quota, they try again. I'm beginning to wonder if the Islamic State Department and the Jihad Department of Justice terrorists at the airport and drive them to their targets. Not target for shopping, the Brooklyn Bridge, which is one of their targets. George Patton said twice in his lifetime he saw the USA come from behind to win. You know, that's our strategy. We take the first hit and then we recover and win. We may not have that luxury next time. He doubted that we could do it a third time. His reason was the millisecond speed of war missiles. So give me a wartime consigliere president now, and we'll be ahead of the game. Another George, named Washington, said in times of peace, prepare for war. In times of peace, prepare for war. We don't need leaders who promise to take the 3 o'clock phone call to hang up and hit the snooze button. Think about a commander president with a combat background in fighting bad Muslims. And please don't suggest Colin Powell, the ship jumper. We need a pistol like McChrystal. Bartender, champagne, the economy is coming back. Now that we drill and export oil, gas is up to 30 cents a gallon. That's ridiculous. I thought it was high at 27 cents. We did save a bundle on agency closings. The vets are happy with private practice doctors. You can go to the best schools on the internet for free. The EPA and the IRS are gone to the border to write up immigration applications. The House and the Senate that don't qualify for health care now that they are part-time. You see what a couple of changes can do? November elections are coming, and they came and we won. Do not give termites any more terms. Remember how many times they threw your letters and emails in the garbage. Now it is garbage time payback. Let's can them. Okay, we'll give you a tune. And that's why I like McChrystal. I think we may need a general to pick up the pieces of the country. Elvis, can you sing something American?
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. To that last part.
Short life, 42 years old, and drugs got him. He was one of the first drug casualties. You would not realize this, but you know, people do experiment with drugs. And the first drug experimenters, many of them died. You know, the boys that tried heroin for the first time, it was their last time. You got to be very careful when you're messing with drugs. And the only way to beat drugs and never become a junkie, there's only one way. Don't do the first one. Don't do the first one. If you don't dance by the fire, you never fall in. Gowdy approaches Benghazi minefield. Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Wood was the commander of the 16-man Special Forces Security Detail at the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli. Now, that's Tripoli. That's not Benghazi. Until the State Department ordered him and his men home on August the 5th, 2012, and never replaced them. Despite repeated pleas from Ambassador Chris Stevens and his State Department security officers in Tripoli that they remain in Libya, Washington wouldn't listen. Now, Washington is a physical location. It doesn't have a heart. It doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have lips, fingers. So when you say Washington, who are you really talking about? Are you talking about President Obama? Colonel Wood remains perplexed at what happened on the night Ambassador Stevens was murdered, and in a recent conversation recalled a similar event in June of 2012 when the British ambassador came under RPG attack while visiting Benghazi. Imagine if they got all, these boys show up in malls with RPGs. When I went to help the British ambassador, we got to the scene faster than the CIA team did on September the 11th. I went over to the CIA annex, waited for the 18 Delta medic to grab his kit, and left immediately, he told me. Why wouldn't they say get over here as quick as you can when the British ambassador gets attacked and say wait when it's our own ambassador, he wondered. And yet, that's the behavior former deputy CIA Morrell told the House Intelligence Committee was a very prudent decision. Lying sack of Shiite. Their report was welcomed by the national communist media. I insert the word communist. This media is a communist media. It does not have the best intentions when it comes to dealing with the American people. The New York Times is the worst. Washington Post is the second runner-up. The Washington Post, who had inside information for years from the second highest official in the FBI. Did he get paid by the Washington Post for his information? How does that work? He did it out of the goodness of his heart. He was promised a job when he got out. What's the deal? Surely he didn't do it for nothing. This report was welcomed by the national media as the final nail in the coffin of Republican-led congressional investigations. Today, I saw a guy that I don't trust. I call him Lindsey Graham. I do not trust this man. I do not trust him. And I'll tell you why. It's a gut feeling. He's a lawyer, and he was in the military, and he still may be in the military reserves. And I saw him in an interview once saying that he would make an example out of any GI that got out of line. And the look on his face when he said it, it was like he had a glee and a glow about making examples of American soldiers. And I said, I don't trust this son of a bitch. This guy from South Carolina, if this is the best they can do, we're all in trouble. And he's very clever. He straddles the fence, and once in a while he dips his toe over, and he goes, oh, he's a hawk. And then he dips it the other way. Oh, he's a chicken. Yeah, so I don't trust Lindsey Graham. And I feel sorry for any GI that's under his command. And I saw him today, and he was praising Trey Gowdy, who deserves all kinds of kudos. And at the same time, he was praising the black guy that's on there, and I can't think of his name right now. But he shares the dais with, is it Cummings? Is his name Cummings? He shares the dais, and all he is with Trey Gowdy on this hearing. And all he's going to do is he's going to run interference for the party of death, for the Communist Party, used to be the Democrat Party. Many conservatives have been pushing for Trey Gowdy to play his cards, even as his investigators continue to conduct their probe. This Mike Morrell from the CIA, he's got to go. And even as his investigators continue to conduct their probe, far from the media spotlight, the Washington Post has already proclaimed Gowdy's investigation superfluous. See, the Washington Post is no good. Between them and the Times, they give out troop movements to al-Qaeda, I believe. And last week, blasted unfounded conspiracy theories. I got to tell you, communist newspapers, you're all paving the way for Hillary Clinton. She ain't getting it. She ain't getting it. When the crap comes out about what she did in Benghazi and the cover-up, anybody that's decent in this country will see to it that she never works again. And there's a picture with her and Ambassador Stevens, and they're smiley faced. And Ambassador Stevens was sodomized. Now, I want you to know this. Go to YouTube and you Google Hillary Clinton with her girlfriend sitting around talking about the war success against Libya, the war on Libya that was created by executive order. Okay, completely unconstitutional. And Hillary says, we came, we saw, we killed him. And they all laughed. And then on September the 11th, a day when all Americans should be on guard, Ambassador Stevens was sodomized the same way that Muammar Gaddafi was sodomized. Okay? Gaddafi was sodomized with steel rods. Okay? And somebody from al-Qaeda was saying, we came, we saw, we killed him. Just like Hillary said. Many conservatives have been pushing for Trey Gowdy to play his cards. The Washington Post last week blasted unfounded conspiracy theories propounded by Republicans for distracting from the big mistake in Libya policy, which was President Obama's refusal to support the new government's attempt to build security. There was a Turkish ambassador that met with Stevens before he died. The Turkish ambassador was stopped by al-Qaeda security and allowed to pass through before they attacked. What was he there for? They don't want you to know, because they were also violating the Constitution. That's why Gowdy must, let's see if you got this right. But hey, what difference do the facts make when there's a presidential campaign afoot? We got to put an end to that silly stuff. And I got to tell you, $1 paying contribution for anybody who wants to invest in a politician. $1 maximum should be all that's allowed. So if the Chinese military sends over 2 million, and they're already talking, they're gonna have $1 billion as a war chest to elect the next president. That should be disallowed right from the bat. That $1 billion cancels out my vote, your vote, and everybody else's vote who doesn't have money. And that means the rich are picking the winner, and that's not right. And a rich could be a government, like a communist government. And the biggest business in the United States is the American government. There's none bigger. So, let's see here. In Gruber-esque fashion, or that's Gruber, the guy that designed The Obama doesn't care health plan. Yeah. The Post failed to mention that Ambassador Stevens was still talking to prime minister candidates for the new government on the day he was brutally murdered, as his diary shows. He was brutally murdered. And so I love this. All through this communist media crap that they foisted on the American people since 9-1-1 Benghazi, they always denounced Ambassador Stevens and three others. They never mentioned Sean Smith. They never mentioned Ty Woods. And who was the third guy? Sean Smith, Ty Woods, and Glenn Doherty. They never mentioned these guys. It was always the ambassador and three others, like they didn't count. When I do the news reports, I do Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Ty Woods, and an ambassador. And one other. Yeah. What's the difference that the facts make when there's a presidential campaign afoot? That's why Gowdy must and is treading carefully as it navigates the labyrinth minefield constructed by partisan hacks and entrenched bureaucrats to hide the truth. The biggest obstacle he has in his way is going to be Cummings. Cummings, El Saboteur. Les Saboteurs. The diversion order. Let's go here. Okay. Many in the military have been asking why reinforcements. All right, I got to go back. Wow. Let's see. One of the first things Gowdy did was to hire a 3-star U.S. Army general as his chief counsel. Smart. Lieutenant General Dana Chipman has just stepped down as the Judge Advocate General for the United States Army, where, in his own words, he had led a legal enterprise consisting of 5,000 personnel and 600 officers in 20 countries. Prior to that, General Chipman was the chief lawyer for U.S. Central Command and U.S. Special Operations Command. Stepping into that hot seat in June of 2003, just as U.S. forces switched from liberators to occupiers in Iraq. The 3 stars on Chipman's shoulder boards give him the authority to candidly question anyone in the military chain of command that night without concerns more junior officers might have about disputing the wisdom of an order from on high. Many in the military have been asking why reinforcements weren't flown in from Croatia. Demand U.S. Army Counterterrorism Hostage Rescue Unit, known as C-110, was on a military training mission. Didn't know about that. A C-110 was the commanders in extremist force, the CIF for European Command, a rapid reaction force capable of getting men and equipment into their C-130s to respond to a crisis in somewhere between 2 to 6 hours. I would like to see a whole military division capable of doing that, my personal opinion. Because C-110 was slated to become the AFRICOM CIF on October the 1st, AFRICOM commanders were intimately aware of its capabilities and its current position, roughly 2 hours flight time from Benghazi. But instead of flying directly to Benghazi, they were told to stage en route at Sigonella Naval Air Station in Sicily, where it stopped. The diversion order was given from the Pentagon, not by AFRICOM headquarters in Stuttgart. That's in Germany. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey, has claimed in congressional testimony that the earliest a C-110 could have left Croatia was 6 a.m. in the morning of September 12th, a statement disputed by members of the unit who have spoken anonymously to the media. I don't trust Dempsey. I don't like Dempsey. Every time I see Dempsey, he's playing basketball in Washington, D.C. He's supposed to be the commander. He's been to Iraq or Afghanistan just recently on an overnight stint. And I think that was because he was told he's looking real bad. I don't trust Dempsey, and I don't trust Leon Pinheta. Where the commanders of this powerful hostage rescue unit champing at the bit, but told to stand down, and if so, by who and why? Gowdy should be able to get all that info. We know the official reasons why C-110 was not sent. AFRICOM Commander General Carter Hamm and his subordinates have all testified that in the fog of war, they believed they were facing a similar situation to the 1979 Tehran hostage crisis and needed more time to gather intelligence and plan a hostage rescue operation. But General Hamm also told Representative Jason Chaffetz, who is slated to succeed Daryl Issa as chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, that he never sent boots onto the ground in Benghazi because the State Department never asked. I was for this guy, Carter Hamm. I thought I heard he got fired over the phone because he wanted to go. And believing that, I thought he was a good guy. Now I got questions. That explanation was buttressed by testimony from Brigadier General Robert Lovell, the AFRICOM Deputy Commander for Intelligence, J2. My friends, we have no intelligence. We have no intelligence whatsoever. We are wide open, face down, pants down. This past May, where he explained that in the spirit of expeditionary diplomacy, a favorite Hillary Clinton term, the military was waiting for a request for assistance from the State Department before moving reinforcements into Libya. Then you could read more. There's 173 views. You want to hear what some people say? Obama doesn't want people to know he was giving weapons to our enemies. Janice says, this is going to be very interesting. Trey Gowdy is getting his ducks in a row. I'm going to play a tune when we come back.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Okay, here are some of the comments. Let's see what they say. He, Obama, doesn't want people to know he was giving weapons to our enemies. This is, and then a lady says, this is going to be very interesting. Her name is Janice. Trey Gowdy is getting his ducks in a row. He's got excellent help. Go, Gowdy. Wish these hearings were televised. I'd get my popcorn ready for some nasty entertainment. They should be televised. Why are they not being televised? So already, the Communist Party is shutting down information to the people. This guy says, Trey, kick ass and take names, starting with Hillary. And Michael says, I hope Trey has a food taster and plenty of bodyguards. But he is right to pursue this, and if I could help him personally, I would. This administration and State Department's no good, fellas. It's the mini UN. They don't work for the United States. Are so guilty of lying and treason, it's incomprehensible. How in the hell do we get in this shape? Rhetorical question. And the State Department controls oil flow. How's that? Trey definitely needs to get to the bottom of this. Everything needs to be looked at in the current administration was gun running. Then they need to have the charge added to the current list. The Washington Post is spin, spin, spin. I think it is very important, and more so, the duty of every American to demand accountability on this. That is what a monumental screw-up is. It's folly. This wasn't a screw-up. This was a planned action. The action was to leave those guys to die, in my opinion. It wasn't a screw-up. They pulled the plug and left them to die. Those responsible need to be outed. Yes, everyone, and blame put where it belongs. This president didn't have time to rescue four men who put their lives on the line to rescue other men. He didn't have time to help them, but he had plenty of time to sick the IRS on the Conservative Party and then lie about it. Everything this guy does is a lie. Whatever he's telling you he's doing, unless it's he's doing it to you, it's a lie. I do not take the death of these Americans lightly. If Hillary could be as a senior snake in the snake department, if she can lie about the lives of four men, she can lie about the loss of a division or 40,000 men. And I don't want to hear her once more say, who cares how they died? The mere fact that they lied until they were blue in the face indicates guilt. You do not have to hide if you're doing the legal thing. People hide bad. There has to be a lot of discussion. That's by Joe Gonzalez, J-O. So I guess that's a girl's name, huh? People hide bad things. There has to be a lot of discussion and big talk now. Yeah, and if you can abandon four guys in Benghazi, you could abandon a whole country to the enemy. I got a flashback while I was reading that. Do you remember the Abu Ghraib scandal? The Abu Ghraib scandal was that Al-Qaeda terrorists, Republican Guard terrorists, Hezbollah terrorists, anybody that got rounded up creating terror was put in Abu Ghraib. And they were there to be questioned by the CIA. And the CIA set the tone for the treatment of those prisoners. And it's possible that they gave the indication to lower ranking, just average GIs, that they could take certain liberties to demoralize the prisoners. Okay? So what did they do? They put ponchos on them. They made believe they were going to put the wires to their test. They threatened them with snarling German shepherds because Muslims do not like dogs. And as a matter of fact, there's a community, I think in Michigan, that has a sign that says, we don't like dogs. This is a Muslim community. Stay out. And what else did they do? Oh, they made them strip naked, and they took pictures of them. And they made them build a pyramid. So they had, like, maybe the bottom row was, like, say, six guys, and then five, four, you know, as high as they could build the pyramid. And when the word got out, the first thing the government did was they took the general in charge and made her disappear. She was in one interview, and she was gone. She was a woman general. She was in charge of Abu Ghraib. And right away, she got the off-the-hook pass. And then when they got down to the privates and the corporals, those are the ones that went to prison. Nobody in the chain of command was tried. That's not right. And I was disappointed in Rumsfeld that he threw those lower echelon people to the wolves. As I was disappointed in Bush put his arm around Rumsfeld and said, he'll be with me till the tour is finished. And then he whacked him on Christmas. And Rumsfeld was loyal to Bush even after. He didn't pull sour grapes. He took it. He was a servant. He was a true servant. And he served his country. And he was always under attack by the communists. But he disappointed me when, and Bush disappointed me on two occasions, when people should have been pardoned. And here you got President Pinocchio pants. He's pardoning guys that were giving aid and comfort to nuclear terrorists. Mark Rich, who was convicted by Rudy Giuliani, and Giuliani never said anything when Clinton gave him a pardon. He didn't peep. And I like Giuliani. And if I ever met him, that's one of the first questions. Why did you let the Clintons get off the hook when they sold a pardon to Mark Rich's wife, Denise, who donated $1 million to the Democrat Party? No, to the Clinton Library. You see how it works? That's why. $1 champagne contribution from anybody. Nothing more. No lobbies. The only lobby should be in a hotel. And reduce the size of government by 80%. And the taxes also. So, those people went and rotted in jail and they got no pardon. And another one that Bush abandoned and left to rot in prison were the two border guards, Ramos and Campion. And those guys were by an attorney general from Texas, I believe, who was a rat and was doing the dirty work for higher-ups for political gain. And Ramos and Campion, two Latinos, Americans, were sold down the river. And their helpless wives and children had to sell their houses to raise money for lawyers to defend them. And what did they do once they were convicted? They were put in the general population to be murdered. And for that, that's why I don't trust the Republicans. The only difference between Republicans and Democrats is Republicans are a little fancier, and the Democrats are definitely communist. Because they vote to burn the flag, they vote to kill kids, they call it a woman's choice. What about the choice of the child? Doesn't that child have LLP? Do you think when the boys put together the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, did they write a memo that said it's okay to kill kids? Everybody. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator, with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life is in the womb. Liberty is when they're delivered. And the pursuit of happiness is the ability to grow. We're going to have to answer for a lot. There are going to be Nuremberg trials for us in that big courtroom in the sky. And you know what answer is not acceptable? I was only following orders. Or we didn't get involved. We didn't know what was going on. It is really sad. Okay. We'll give you a blue moon on the way out. We're signing off. We wish everybody a safe and protected United States, and that 1% out there that's laying their lives on the line. I've been there. It was only peacetime. But if the Russians had come, I would have stood for you. Yes. Like the Indians do, they tie a rope around their foot and they nail it, they peg in the ground and they stand their ground. God bless the American Indians. And fellas, don't let the communists play you like they're playing the blacks.
You saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. You knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really didn't care for. And then there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms would ever hold. I heard somebody whisper, please adore me. And when I look, the moon has set to gone. Now I'm no longer alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
I'm going to give you a reason. I was going to sign off, but I'm going to give you a reason why Obama's trip to Indian territory to rile up the American Indians so he could have all colors against the whites, it will not work. You want to know why it won't work? Because American Indians are Americans first, and they love this country, and they're willing to live with their white brothers. And not only that, we serve together. If you look on, if you go to my website, Spirit of America Party, a radio show.com, you will see Ira Hayes, an American Indian, in his native dress, on the Marine Corps Monument, raising the flag on Iwo Jima. And the fellow who drew that, I asked his permission to put that up on my website. And his name is on there, if you want to buy a copy of his painting. But here's the reason why Obama will never get the Indians to move off the reservation against their fellow Americans. I got this on an album. And one of the tunes, one of the songs, War Chants, on the album is the Indians, just like you hear them singing here, and they're singing a song to Custer, telling him, you better not go to the little big one. Yeah, it's funny, man. Okay, have a nice night, folks.